I want us to go to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 130. The book of Psalms, chapter number 130. After we read this story, I want to talk to you or tell you about an old friend of mine and share with you some thoughts as that and other things relate to the passage we want to look at here tonight. Psalm chapter 130, there's 8 verses. Let's read these together. He said, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous." Oh, aren't you glad for that word? Redemption. "And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Father, tonight, we thank you for this, the blessed word of God. I pray that you might work in our hearts this evening. I pray, oh God, that you might help us to see truth and we might apply it to our lives. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Many years ago now, probably somewhere around 20, maybe close to 25 years ago, there was a brother in town who was the pastor of a Nazarene church. And this brother called me up one day and he said, "Pastor, I'd like to enroll my daughters in your school." And I got to know a man by the name of Aki, Brother Aki. And through the course of the next few years, while his girls were here until he left the area, we became good friends. And though he was Nazarene, Brother Aki, he would come to me and he would talk to me about a number of different things, for he'd gotten a hold of a number of publications that had blessed his heart. One of those had been The Sword of the Lord that had been published back in those days and for many years, started by Dr. John R. Rice. And he read that ferociously. Got many of the books that were published by The Sword of the Lord and other Baptist books. And he said to me one day, he said, "Brother," he said, "if it wasn't for one thing, I'd be a Baptist." And I knew what it was. He said, "If I could get over this thing, if I could understand somehow how you folks can believe in once saved, always saved, without it being a license to sin," he said, "I'd be a Baptist." And by the way, his doctrine, except for that, was Baptistic. A little secret that I know, he's never doubted his own salvation. I told him that one day and had a little fun with him from time to time. By the way, it's a little bit fun to get around Christians who do not believe that their salvation is secure, because you can really hold them to the fire. I remember one time we had our basketball team and we were playing a school that did not believe that. And they had referees there. And I said to them, I said, "Now listen, you need to referee this fairly and squarely, because you could lose your salvation. We can get mad at you and we won't lose ours, but you might lose yours." And he looked at me real weird like. But I was just enjoying my salvation. Let's understand something tonight. If we could really comprehend the truth of verse number 4, if we could really get this into our hearts and our lives, we might realize that the security of salvation does not give us a license to sin. Notice what it says. "But there is forgiveness" where? "With thee," with the Lord. And what does it say? "That thou mayest be feared." Isn't that interesting? There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. One of the things I find so often throughout the Word of God in my experience since I've been saved. Isn't that the ways of the Lord are past finding out? There are so many things about God I do not understand. That used to bug me. That used to bother me because I felt like, boy, you know, as a pastor and as a Christian, I need to be able to explain everything there is about God to anybody who asks. Because after all, God says that we need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within. He did not say that we need to be ready to give an answer for every detail about God. Because His ways are past finding out. If God could be understood by you and me, then He would not be nearly as great as He is. But He is so far above us. I cannot understand God. I cannot understand being in a place, in a realm that there is no clocks. I have a wristwatch on my arm. It says 6:30. Well, it doesn't say anything. It's going, but it reads 6:37 and 20 seconds. For you who are counting time, we will be done at 7 o'clock, maybe. I have another clock here. It's right here. It has an alarm on it. Not set, I don't think. The night somebody sets that, we are in trouble. I have in my pocket, and you can tell the new generation, they don't wear wristwatches. They pull out their cell phone like the guys of old pulled their pocket watch out to see the time. I cannot imagine a world without a timepiece. Can you? And yet God is timeless. He is eternal. You see, my Bible says, in the beginning God created. See, God created time. That is just past my understanding. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Think about this. We look at the universe and we see this vast expanse. And we read things about how there are galaxies upon galaxies. Matter of fact, I read not too long ago that there are these columns of galaxies. I mean, one after another, and there are great big columns of them, and they have another name for those. And they have no idea how many of those are out there. And it takes millions of years for light traveling 186,000 miles per second to go from one end of a galaxy to the next. It is so vast. And yet God is bigger than that. You see, God isn't in the universe. The universe is in God. I can't comprehend that. I don't understand that. God is so tremendous. I mean, we look at God and we say He is all-powerful. We get our word dynamite from the Greek word dunamis, which means powerful. And yet all of the bombs we put together, all the equipment we put together, all the machinery we put together, all the horsepower that we want to measure, and yet it does not even hold the dirt under the fingernail of God's power. He is past finding out. His ways are not our ways. And it's all too obvious when we approach this subject of the fear of God. You see, our idea is, if we want to put fear into somebody, we're going to walk up, "You're going to do what I say or else." I got his attention. But that's our idea, isn't it? Seriously. That is what God says. He says in verse number 4, "There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." Laying down the law, by the way, will stop crime knowing there is enforcement. But do you know tonight there is a bigger deterrent to crime than laying down the law? And that is when it comes into your heart and my heart, the realization that by doing so, we are going to hurt somebody who loves us. Isn't that interesting? Teachers, you'll get much farther with your clash by loving them than by hollering at them. I've told the story on a few occasions. As we were growing up and going to Sunday school, the class that I happened to be in, it was a pastor's child. They're always the worst kids in church. You all know that. Amen. And I had a guy ask me that just recently, and he said, were your kids as bad as most pastors' kids? They were the worst kids in church? I said, yeah, because they hung around your kids. It's pretty obvious to me. And one of them was the pastor's child. There was another one, a young man who was probably the orneriest one in the group, killed in Vietnam. And three or four others, myself. One of the boys, I remember quite distinctly, every Sunday he would come and he'd tell about how he put mousetraps in his sister's drawer or someplace where she would be getting at and how that thing caught her. I mean, these are the kind of guys we were around. We really learned good stuff in Sunday school. Every year we normally had two or three, sometimes four teachers because they gave up. I remember we got to be about 13, 14 years of age, and I was now in the teen class, and we had this woman came along. Her first name was Betty. And she was different than the rest. She actually said, hey, why don't you go with us? I'm going to take you someplace. First time I was ever on a church outing with a Sunday school teacher. And she took us. And she acted about as goofy as we did. But she showed us she cared about us. I don't remember anything that she taught, quite frankly. I don't remember anything any of them taught us, quite frankly. But I do remember this. She loved us. She was our teacher for a number of years. We didn't scare her off. She loved us. And you know what? We did what she wanted. Isn't that something? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Turn with me, Mark chapter number 12, please. Book of Mark chapter number 12. I want to read here a number of verses. Begin verse number 28. Book of Mark chapter number 12. And I want us to notice something here. It says in verse number 28, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Notice what he asked. What's the first command? Jesus answering him, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And like our Lord, he goes another step, and he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. And thought about what it says there in Psalm 130, verse number 4. And as I read this, it seems to me that Jesus made it very clear that it wasn't the law that produced eternal life, but the lawgiver. And it wasn't about doing certain things, it was about love and particularly caring for the one who gave us the law. You see, the Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. There's the civil law that shows us the holiness and majesty of God. It says, thou shalt not. And in saying thou shalt not, it is showing who God is. And then it says, thou shalt not regarding our fellow man. Showing us what God thinks of us. and the sanctity of life and possessions and so forth. And then there is the ceremonial law of God that shows to us the mercy of God. And in the law of God, showing how great He is, we see the mercy of God. And in that mercy, we can learn the fear of God. Far greater than simply from thou shalt not. Knowing that mercy develops a great fear of disrupting the flow of that love, God has penned these words for us. I believe the greatest way, as I've already mentioned, to disarm a naughty kid is with affection. Now please note, affectionate love is never displaced with leniency, but a deep known heartache for having to be stern. There's a love that when it's developed within us and we show it to others, that brings about a respect and a fear far greater than meanness, far greater than simply saying, this is the way it's going to be. The psalmist knew that with the justice of God, no man could ever stand. He said, who can stand before Him? But in the forgiveness of God was a fear of God that, as we find from these verses, longs for the very presence of God. Did you notice verse number 4 and 5? There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in His Word do I hope. Oh, thank the Lord. The accusation is made that there's no fear of God in the land. And by the way, that be a true statement. But I believe perhaps the reason there be no fear of God in the land that you and I dwell is not for a lack of the knowledge of the severity of God, but little realization of the forgiveness of God. A realization that God actually not lenient with sin, but actually forgives sin. Wipes it from His memory. You see, people equate leniency with forgiveness and miss the whole concept. There's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Because they do not know the nature of God, His holiness coupled with His love and His mercy, they don't really have a realization of His forgiveness. And what they need from you and I as His people is to know the nature of God, to realize it from you and I that we communicate the right message, that God does forgive. You see, if we communicate the message that God forgives, that's also communicating the message that we've sinned against Him, but God is willing to forgive that sin. Not be lenient with it. Not just close His eyes to it. No, no, no. Because in God's forgiveness, there must be what? Payment for the sin. And here comes the wonderful story of our Savior and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. The problem is we have made salvation too much about ourselves and too little about God. We want to hammer people with their sin, when they also need to know that God is merciful, not tolerant, but a merciful God. They need to know He's holy and righteous, but willing to bestow upon us His forgiveness if we will humble ourselves before Him. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter, if you would please. Chapter number 1. Excuse me, 2 Peter. Turn a couple pages. Notice how it begins. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Aren't those beautiful words? Who's he writing to? Them who have what? Obtained like precious faith with us. How? Through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. How has our faith come about? Because of the severity of God? No, because of the righteousness of God. I understand that this means primarily the righteousness of God as He went to the cross and died there for you and for me. But also, as we see who God is and realize, in spite of the fact He is righteous and holy, He is willing not to be lenient with us, but to actually forgive us of our sin. Not to push it aside, but to obliterate it. Interesting thought. Grace and peace, he says, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When you and I, here's our application, become like God, we will find ourselves treating people out of love, even if it's correction. It's out of heart that cares. Because it is here that you and I truly fear, and it's here that you and I respect our God. And it is in this position, knowing His forgiveness, that the fear of God's developed. What does the fear of God do in our hearts and our lives? It changes the way we behave. Compassion. The love of God. Aren't we thankful for it? Because in the love of God, the mercy of God sprang. And there's forgiveness. Because the justice of God was taken care of out of that love. For God so loved, He gave. Don't we have a marvelous God? I mean, seriously, isn't He marvelous? My job as a pastor of this church and with people who are saved, I believe, is very, how can I say this, pointed. Primarily, my job is to help you to fall in love with Jesus. When you love Jesus, there will be a fear of Him developed. Because you have known the forgiveness that Almighty God brings. There will be a change in your behavior. When you truly know and understand God's love in your life. He cares for our soul. He don't operate the way we do. And we don't understand His ways sometimes. A lot of things don't make sense. Give, and it shall be given to you. You're kidding. Our thought is, take, and we shall have. God says, no, when you get it, disperse it. I'll take care of you. His ways are past finding out. Don't understand those things. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school. God says, pray for my daily needs, and He tells me He's already taken care of them. He just wants me to talk to Him. His ways are past finding out. And when you and I recognize how much He's forgiven us of our respect and our fear of Him grows. And it grows. The Christian who doesn't see how much God's forgiven him of is standing at the side while the woman who understands how much He forgave is on her knees washing His feet with her hair and the tears from her eyes. God help us see from whence He brought us. Lord, tonight, work in our hearts. Oh God, help us to rest.